You're listening to a Get Serial podcast. I'm a bit excited for today, to be honest, because we have some pretty cool stuff coming up. Of course, today is a pretty special day, if I don't mind saying so myself. It is International Women's Day. So today we have actually set up our playlist to have a sneaky little, I guess, theme, maybe? Well, how would you describe it?
We've had a category. We've had a classification for this one. You know, all our music is by incredible women. And I think it's great. I think, look, all year round we play music made by everyone. But March 8th is a day where we get to especially celebrate our lovely women and celebrate us as well, to be fair. It's just for us. International Women's Day is just for us. But no, it's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a fun show. We've got great music. We've got a great little interview coming up.
Woo-hoo!
It's an exciting one. And yeah, I'm excited to get into it.
Definitely. But before we can do any of that, if you want to keep up to date with every single thing Get Serial, you can do so at Get Serial Sin on Instagram. You can do so Get Serial Sin on TikTok. We do post from time to time. Check it out and follow, because you never know when we might post our big reveal of the thing that we don't have planned yet. You can also check out our podcast realm, where you can check out previous episodes. And you can also check out previous interviews. I will say that right now, the Saint Hill interview with the two live performances is up on our podcast platform, so please do check it out. See why we absolutely adore Saint Hill. And sometimes we know things do get difficult, and you or a friend may need someone to talk to. So if you do, we do have some helplines available for you.
Definitely. So you can reach out to Beyond Blue at 1300 224 636. You can phone the Kids Helpline at 1800 55 1800. And the QLife Helpline is available at 1800 184 527. So as always, they're incredible resources. If you want to talk to anyone, they're definitely great people to go to. And look after yourself and look after others.
Definitely. But with that, we're going to dive into our first song. And I think this song is more than good enough for an early morning. Here is Good Enough by Tori Forsyth. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
That was the ever so lovely Gabrielle Aplin with Please Don't Say You Love Me, which is a song that I always love, although it's a very sad one. But before that, you had Good Enough by Tori Forsyth. Tori is an Australian alt-country artist who was actually hitting the road this May in support of her upcoming album, All We Have Is Who We Are, which is due for release on Friday, the 3rd of May. So get that penciled into your calendar.
Definitely. We have a very, very fun lineup of songs, as we mentioned earlier, and a lot of them are going on tour soon. So it might be worth, you know, writing them down, checking them out. If you miss one, you know, hit us up on the Instagram, hit us up on the email. We'll tell you what you missed. But you only can do that by checking it out. But we do have some Friday morning news. Now, it has been a bit of a, I don't know if it's been a busy week, but it also hasn't been a necessarily quiet week. So just hold on and we'll see how we go. Starting off though, a Melbourne teacher has been saved by a defibrillator she coincidentally lobbied for. So a Melbourne teacher who went into cardiac arrest in a classroom was saved by the defibrillator. That's a tough word. She lobbied to have installed in the school. During a school play rehearsal last September, the drama teacher Lindy Clark collapsed. She said, "I don't remember going down. I don't remember feeling sweaty." But the students from Caulfield Grammar, Wheelers Hill campus, and the fellow teacher Pete Serbus swung into action and pretty much saved her with the defibrillator. And this is something that's been lobbied for in normal schools, and not normal schools, but in other schools throughout the country by multiple people. And probably the most famous one that's pushing for this is Greg, the Yellow Wiggle, the original Yellow Wiggle, after he had some heart issues and still has a couple heart issues here and there. I personally think we should have him. Why not?
It's life-saving.
Exactly.
Yeah. I actually saw just spinning off this, there's actually a push now to get kind of like a defibrillator situation, but for EpiPens now.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
Considering how expensive they can be.
It's like, it's life-saving. I don't think it should be too controversial.
No, I agree.
But unfortunately, the next story is quite a sad one, so we will read the helplines again later. But data has revealed that 2 Melburnians fatally overdose on heroin each month. So it's been revealed that 2 people are dying of heroin overdoses in Melbourne CBD every month as the Victorian government delayed the release of a long-awaited report into the city's second safe injecting room. The state government has received backlash over its decision to delay handing over the report, despite a deadline from the upper house. The Salvation Army today revealed 230 people died of an overdose in Victoria in 2022, with a startling number occurring in the centre of Melbourne. So obviously more needs to be done there.
Definitely. Moving on from that, though, a mum has been forced to give birth on the freeway after a climate protest had blocked the Westgate. So a Melbourne mother has thanked a teacher who helped her deliver her baby on the side of the road after climate protesters blocked the Westgate Bridge, stopping her from getting to a hospital. Roshni Ladd and her husband, Brihav, drove down the wrong side of the road and, in panic, on their way to the hospital, got stuck in the blockade. After her water broke, the couple were forced to pull over and deliver the new baby boy without the help of medical professionals.
My God.
Definitely a stressful day.
And it's not something that's going to help you side with climate change protesters, I think, if you are pushing out
definitely
a baby.
Definitely. We'll talk a little bit more about the climate protesters, but I'm still a little bit on the fence about, you know, stopping traffic for this reason in particular. But
look, kind of continuing on with, well, definitely continuing on with that, actually, with the Westgate Bridge climate protesters, they've actually been jailed for the rush hour chaos that was caused. So 2 climate protesters are in jail for blocking traffic lanes on the major Melbourne freeway, which caused significant rush hour delays. Deanne Violet Coco, 33 years old, and 51-year-old Bradley Homewood from Williamstown pleaded guilty to 2 counts of public nuisance by obstructing motorists and obstructing police and emergency service workers yesterday. Both were sentenced to 21 days imprisonment. The members of environmental action group Extinction Rebellion actually parked a truck on the Westgate Bridge about 7:45 a.m. on Wednesday and climbed on top, unfurling banners which read, "Declare a climate emergency and climate breakdown has begun," which I will say is very true, but it is scary when people can't go to the hospital for their needs.
Yeah,
that could have gone very differently.
Definitely. Moving on from that, University of Melbourne has admitted to not giving casual workers more work after a claim. So the University of Melbourne has admitted that one of its casual academics was not offered another contract after she made a claim for working additional hours. The woman was refused further work on the 9th of February 2021 after she tried to claim an extra 5 hours on top of her allocated 12 hours of casual support work. It followed an August 2020 meeting where the supervisor told the worker and another casual staffer, and I quote, "If you claim outside of your contracted hours, don't expect to work next year." The Fair Work Ombudsman took the case to federal court, alleging the University of Melbourne took adverse action against the 2 casuals because they exercised a workplace right. The university admitted to the contraventions during the hearing with Barrister Richard Dalton KC apologising on behalf of the institution. The university has acknowledged it and they are trying to make steps to better themselves, but this is a good example of why you should know your rights as a worker.
Definitely, you have to stand up for yourself.
Join the union.
Let's do it. And Rust movie armourer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed has been convicted over the fatal shooting. A US jury has convicted a movie weapons supervisor of involuntary manslaughter in the fatal shooting of a cinematographer by actor Alec Baldwin during a rehearsal on the set of the Western movie Rust. The verdict against movie armourer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed assigns new blame in the death of cinematographer Halner Hutchins in October 2021 after an assistant director last year pleaded no contest to negligent handling of a firearm. Gutierrez-Reed has also faced a second charge of evidence tampering, stemming from accusations that she handed a small bag of possible narcotics to another crew member after the shooting to avoid detection. She was found not guilty on that charge.
definitely a story to keep an eye on. It's been going for a little while, but I have good news.
We like good news.
If you were checking anything last night, you would have noticed that the footy is back. And we have a couple games coming out. We're in the middle of round zero, which is the AFL's very poorly done way to try and get in before the NRL comes back from Las Vegas. It is worth mentioning, they tried to get it in over the weekend while they were gone. The NRL got back yesterday. So definitely keep an eye on what's coming up with AFL, though, because it is looking like a very, very, very maybe exciting couple of rounds. So last night, Sydney beat Melbourne in what was a pretty dominant showing. And look, as a Collingwood fan, I'm happy and sad and scared to see Brody Grundy back in form. After that, we have today at 7:40, we have Brisbane versus Carlton, which proves to be a very fun game between two powerhouses and two possible premiership winners this year. We then have Gold Coast and Richmond, which I think Gold Coast should knock off tomorrow at 4:20. And the one that I will be watching is GWS versus Collingwood tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Check them out and, you know, let us know who you expect to win each game. And hey, if you're right, maybe we'll let you know. But with that, we're going to go into our next wonderful song for today. Annabelle, have you got that one at the ready for us?
I've got it all lined up for you. It's by Tori Sherd, an alt pop artist from the UK. And you're listening to Ocean Mama.
The ever so wonderful Wear You Out by Jane Penny. Now, Jane Penny is a Canadian vocalist, flautist, songwriter, and producer. Definitely check them out. I don't know about you, I was vibing along with that. And before that was Ocean Mama by Tori Sheed. Now, Tori Sheed is an alt pop artist from the UK. Big fan of their work. And we're going to talk about some of our, well, it obviously, as we mentioned before, International Women's Day. Go women. We're going to talk about some of our favourite women within media. When we say media, we mean things like film, writing, and books. Obviously, the covers under writing. And songs, songwriting, song playing. So we're going to stick it with there. And we'll talk about women a little bit more later on. Again, go women. But I'm going to start off with one of my favourite authors, mainly because of one piece they did. And it's one that's kind of always stood out to me as really a bit of a childhood favourite and one that I rewatched somewhat recently with my partner and I found a brand new love for. It is Hiromu Arakawa. So Hiromu Arakawa is a Japanese manga artist and she is best known for the manga series Full Metal Alchemist, which ran from 2001 to 2010 and that became a hit both domestically and internationally. It was then adapted into two separate anime television series, one that ran originally and, you know, split off from her original work. And when it split off, people were very open about it did not do very well. So they actually liked her work so much, they made it again, but they made it so it followed her work exactly. And I think it was the right option. It's one of my favourite works ever. It's only about 64 episodes to watch the show. I would definitely suggest it. And I think she does something that I've never seen, or that I can't think of an example of, that I genuinely can't think of, and look, spoiler warning for it. She writes male characters incredibly, and she doesn't make them a power fantasy, which is wonderful in this genre, specifically at the end of the show. She writes the main character losing the magical powers that he has and it making sense and being a good thing to do, which does not happen in male-written characters. So I'm very happy to see it. That's one of my favourites. I'll let you, Annabelle, talk about one of yours because I'm quite excited to hear this.
Well, obviously, this is a very incomplete list, I will say, because there's obviously many more inspirational women.
Go
and
women.
We have time. Go women. There you go. Coming out with a new merch line. Go women. But there's obviously more women that we can actually talk about. Surprise, breaking news. More women than can fill the segment.
More women.
More women. Go women. But one of the women who I am really enjoying the work of is Donna Tartt. She is such a great author. Look, she just has me so riveted in her work. She has The Secret History. She has a great book, but has a goldfinch on its cover, whose name I am blanking on right now. But she writes really well. The Secret History is so... it just brings you in. It is incredible. It's one of my favorite books I've ever read. If you want just like an incredible like piece of work that makes you feel like you actually know all the characters, like personally, I'm not kidding that when I say I read this book and then afterwards I had dreams that I was in the novel with them and that I knew all the characters. Just, she writes incredibly. Her work is great. I think she's very cool.
Definitely. Go women. Go Dawn Starr. Go women. Go women. Well, I think we'll give one more each. And I'm going to give my next one, which is one that kind of surprises me when I always look back to and go, wow, I forgot how good that show was and how good the writing was. So we're talking about Charlie Covell, who is an actress, writer, and an award-winning one at that, who is most known for her work in writing the series, the Netflix series, End of the Effing World. And it became an absolute hit. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It is extremely well written. The characters are wonderful. She has managed to write really well neurodivergent coded characters, which is rare on Netflix. Cough, cough, The Good Doctor. And she's also managed to become an Emmy-nominated Peabody Award-winning writer. So definitely check it out. If you haven't seen End of the Effing World, go check it out. It's funny. It's deep. It'll make you think. And I think it's a really good binge show as well. It's one of those ones you can watch in one go and watch like 12 hours of and just like not be sick of it at all, which is hard to do in writing.
And another incredible just woman creating incredible media is Toni Morrison. Toni Morrison is one of the most incredible authors, I would say. She is fantastic at the work she did. She was actually the first African-American woman to be awarded a Nobel Peace Prize in literature. Ooh. And her books, if you read Beloved, if you read Jazz, Song of Solomon, it really just so beautifully explores like racial tension and what it's like to grow up. Obviously, I don't know, but it provides a great insight into what it was like to grow up black in America during, you know, decades past. She creates incredible work, and she... look, it is hard to not emphasize how good she is enough. She did win a Pulitzer Prize for fiction in 1988, but she had to wait until a letter was signed by more than 40 of America's leading black writers and scholars decrying the fact that she wasn't getting enough recognition. She is so good. If you just want to read, like, truly incredible literature from the American canon, Toni Morrison. She has done so much. Go read Jazz. And then tell me what you think about it, because I wrote an essay about Jazz and I love Jazz very much.
Definitely check it out. But I think with that, we're going to dive into another wonderful woman's song. And speaking of jazz, here is a jazz piece with the ever so wonderful Esperanza Spalding with I Know You Know. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
You just heard the incredible Grace Cummins with Common Man. Grace Cummins is a contemporary folk musician hailing from a little-known city called Melbourne. May have heard of it. It sounds great there. And Grace is influenced by 20th century poets and luminaries in her writing, and she creates incredible music. That song is actually from our Sweet 16 playlist, so if you enjoyed that, be sure to check out the Sunday Sweet Show that runs at 5 p.m, I believe, on Sundays, or check out their playlist because they always have incredible music. Before that, you heard Esperanza Spalding with I Know You Know, an incredible song and a good way to kind of, if you were asleep, now you're not. You're awake. You're with us now.
Definitely. I think with that, I know you guys know more wonderful women exist. Again, go women.
Go women.
But we're going to talk about two more women that we think genuinely inspire us or that we find really, really, really impressive or important. I'm going to start off with one that I've talked about in the past, Rhea Ripley, who obviously sold out Perth. Sold out Optus Stadium in Perth, pretty much on the back of just herself, which was unbelievably impressive already, considering she works in a US-based company and a US-based industry in pro wrestling. Now, Rhea Ripley has literally everything. She's got a great entrance, she's got great presentation, she's good on the mic, and she's a good manager. She's only been around for about 2 to 3 years in the main eye, and since then, She's had nothing but success. Her title reign has been fantastic. When she's given a real opportunity, she puts on great matches. She's effortless on promos, meaning she can talk and read her scripts and do what she needs to effortlessly and sound wonderful. She's incredible with the in-ring work. Outside of those, she has so much improvement to go as well because she's only young. She's very young for the industry at 26. And, I mean, this is an industry where, like, people go until they're 45. She has so, so much to do for the industry, so much to give. She is genuinely inspiring the next generation of not just Australians. She is inspiring the next generation of young women. She is inspiring the next generation of pro wrestlers. And I am enjoying watching her come up. She's also bringing, I guess, more of a confidence to particular looks and maybe alt looks because she is genuinely championing this bigger, stronger, more buff look and also championing being more open about your sexuality in the public eye in this way. I mean, her on-screen character name is Mami, M-A-M-I. And, I mean, her catchphrase right now is Mami's always on top, which, I mean, I don't have to spell out what that means, but, I mean, it works because she is on top of the mountain right now. She is incredible. Watching her is the highlight of what is traditionally a male-dominated industry. And I have been loving everything she's been doing. Go check her out. She was recently the face of a video game, which is really cool as well. Go check her out. Go support young Australians. And you know, tell me what you think. But Annabelle, you have one as well.
I do. So mine's going a bit back in time. We're actually going to go to the, you know, 1897 in particular, a very specific year, which is when Amelia Earhart was born. I love Amelia Earhart. This is a niche bit of trivia for you. I did my year six project on Amelia Earhart, on why she was such an inspirational woman. So she's amazing. She's incredible. She was actually the first female to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean, and she earned the US Distinguished Flying Cross for the record. She did so much to help female pilots in, surprise, surprise, being a pilot in the early 1900s, it was male-dominated.
Just a little bit.
You might be shocked to know it's still male-dominated now. But she is just an incredible, well, she was an incredible woman who did so much to help female pilots. She was instrumental in the formation of the 99s, which was an organization for pilots who were women. She wrote best-selling books. She set so many records. She helped other people, you know, get inspired, get into aviation. She just, overall, an incredible woman. And it's really sad that, you know, she disappeared, actually. When she was trying to circumnavigate the globe, she disappeared. There are now theories. Well, there have always been theories. There's more evidence to come out.
It's been soft confirmed.
Yeah, they think they know what's happened. But it was really sad. She was an incredible woman who did a lot to try to help uplift other women. And
I reckon she still does so.
She does so now. She's got a good legacy going.
Definitely. But you won't see us twisting words about how wonderful any of these women are. Here is Twisting Words by Maisha. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard an incredible song and two wonderful sweepers from some interview guests that we recently had. Now, Annabelle, could you let us know a little bit more about those interview guests and why you should keep an eye on our podcast platforms?
Well, that is an excellent question. We had the pleasure of having Marley Hawk and Dylan McBurney in the other day to talk about their new show at the Melbourne Comedy the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It's called Pilot. It's going to be such a fun time. You've got some young faces who are entering the kind of the big leagues now in comedy for the first time. You'll be able to see them debut at the Melbourne International Comedy Fest. And Marley and Dylan were both just excellent guests to have in. They are so much fun. So if you want to hear about knitted pyrotechnics, maybe even getting kidnapped by an Uber driver. Lots of little fun snippets. Definitely go listen to our interview when it's up. That will be released very shortly. You can actually follow us on Get Serial Sin on Instagram to find out first when it comes out, and check out their show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Definitely have a look at that. But we are going to dive into our wonderful favourite bit of the show. Well, we're not favourite, we have an interview coming. But one of our favourite things we do every single episode, am I the bad guy? Now, I've got two for you, and I'm going to let you choose. So I've got, am I the bad guy for avoiding Christmas after being excluded from a wedding for being a stripper? Or am I the bad guy for refusing to go to my parents anymore until my daughter is over one?
You know what? I'm going to go for the second one because it's very specific. Why over one? What happens?
No, yeah, worries.
So, no wuzzes. Let's go.
And I quote, coming from the Reddit poster, I told my parents I'm no longer coming over to their house. I just had a baby and she is having a hard time with latching / feeding. Every time I have to feed her, my father makes rude remarks about how I need to cover up, or how my daughter always has, and I quote, has a boob in her mouth.
That's kind of how babies work, I will say. That is how babies work.
I have explained before that covering up right now isn't an option because of the issues we're having. But when they resolve even, I'd be more than happy to. I have also explicitly said that his remarks upset me. I finally made the decision to stop going over there until my daughter is no longer breastfeeding. My mum keeps inviting us over for dinner, but I've let her know that I'm not interested in going over there anymore. Am I the bad guy for setting these boundaries, or should I just let it go? There is an update, but I want to give you what you said.
100% not. The dad is the bad guy. First of all, like, that's your daughter. You know, like, people already face enough harassment that they shouldn't be facing over breastfeeding in general, which is a perfectly natural thing to do. And, like, it's already hard enough to be a woman breastfeeding without your own dad making you uncomfortable and being a jerk about it. It is so normal for a baby to need to, surprise, babies need to eat too. And it's a very natural process. Women have been breastfeeding for a very long time. And I think if he's so uncomfortable by it, he needs to leave the room. You know, it's not up to her. She shouldn't have to cover up. If it's something that makes him uncomfortable, he can leave the room and come back later. But it's really sad, but, you know, she's just had a baby, she's really struggling with latching, and now she feels like she can't even go over to her parents' house for support because he's being such a jerk about it.
Definitely. Look, it can be difficult as well because some parents feel really pressured to go straight to formula. Not all babies go to it. Some babies really struggle with formula. Breastfeeding is not a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely not. Fed is best. And also, just let your daughter live. Yeah. You know, she's already, like, having a hard time. But what's the update?
So the update is, and I quote, we talked about it in family therapy, and my dad compared it to him pulling out his private parts and peeing in front of me. I told him that was complete apples to oranges comparison, and he needed to grow up.
That's unhinged.
My mother said she didn't want to have to choose between her granddaughter and him, but she would choose her granddaughter.
Slay.
He started yelling and cursing at me and walked out. So I walked out of therapy. It's a little bit sad, though, that he wants to die on this hill.
That's really sad. Also, that's just completely the counterpart of him whipping out a certain counterpart, I shall say, and peeing would be just her squatting and peeing. Like, yeah, I hate to say.
It's not the same. Women pee.
Literally, surprise. Breaking news. Go women. They can do anything. But it's just completely insane to me. You're feeding a baby. That's very natural. Already, I find it weird when people aren't... I don't want to say weird. I know there's also cultural things. But already, like, breastfeeding is perfectly natural. Just stop sexualizing women. You know, I hate to say it, but boobs have been around for a long time. And their primary purpose is to feed and to look after children. And I already find it odd when people sexualize breastfeeding. You know, that's just a way of feeding a child.
The strange one.
Yeah, and literally nothing to do with his example. I think he needs to go to therapy. Sounds like he is. It might not be going well. But
it's a start.
Yeah, it's a start. Maybe he'll stay in the room next time. Who knows? But I feel bad for her. I'm glad, though, that her mum supported her and supported the baby.
Definitely. Look, if you have any, I guess, stories like that that are good and you're willing to share, please hit us up on our Instagram and let us know, because we'd love to hear about this and we might even talk about it if you're willing to let us. But moving on from that, we're going to move into another wonderful song. It is Magic Woman Dancing by Emily Warama. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
You just heard the incredible Walk of Shame by Emery, who is part of our beautiful Sunday Sweet Sweet 16 playlist. So if you want to discover more music like that, or if you just you want to find something new, definitely go check out the Sunday Sweet Show that runs on 90.7 FM every Sunday at 5 p.m. It's just started up fresh from the new season, and it is such a great place to discover new music or rediscover, you know, artists you haven't listened to in a while who are putting out new great releases. Before that, you did hear Magic Woman Dancing by Emily Warama. It is such an incredibly special song to me. It is beautiful. Emily Warama is creating the absolute best, most magical music. So those are two incredible tracks that you should definitely check out. But before we get into this next section, I do just want to give a welcome to country for any listeners who are just tuning in now. Sin Media acknowledges and pays respects to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded lands the Sin office and studios stand. We respectfully acknowledge their ancestors and elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend this respect to the traditional custodians of the lands on which Sin content is produced, where Sin content reaches, and on which Sin partner organizations stand. Sovereignty has never been ceded, and no treaty has ever been signed. Always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land. So as I said before that, you were listening to two incredible songs. We've got more incredible songs on the way today with Get Serial, but I do just want to kind of give you a little recap of what we've talked about if you've missed us and what you can expect in the kind of second half of this show. So we've, you know, as you know, it is International Women's Day today. As Bianca would say, go women. We've been talking about some of the incredible women that inspire us in history, including Amelia Earhart, and not so much in history, but right now, Rhea Ripley, who, if you've listened to Get Serial before, you will know Bianca absolutely adores. We've talked about some of our favourite women in the media space who are doing incredible things in literature, in music, in film. And we've also had a little bit of a section where we judged, is this person the bad guy? Spoiler alert, they weren't. They were very much in the right. For the rest of the show, we have, you know, a few more discussions coming up. We may or may not have an interview, which will be very exciting. And we're going to have a little bit of like a recommendations corner. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. So definitely stick around for that. But if you want to keep up to date with everything Get Serial, you can check us out on Instagram at Get Serial Sin, where we post our playlists. We post little clips of our interviews. We even post other stuff. Shocking, I know. So definitely go check us out there if you want to be up to date on everything Get Serial. You can also follow us on Get Serial Sin on TikTok, where we're a little less active. But if you follow us, we promise we will start posting. We're just waiting for you. So come on, start following us and we will be better. We promise. I do just want to say, though, that sometimes on the show, difficult conversations come up and we understand that they can be hard. So we do want to provide some helplines in case anything we bring up kind of makes you want to chat to someone. We've got Beyond Blue, which you can reach at 1300 224 636. We've got the Kids Helpline, you can phone at 1800 55 1800. And the QLife Helpline is available at 1800 184 527. So as always, these are really great resources. If you ever need a chat, or even if you think you just want to chat, definitely reach out to them. They are great, great resources. And there's no shame in reaching out and getting some help. But with that, we're going to go into a beautiful song off our Sweet 16 by Rowena Wise. Actually, apologies, we are not going to go into that song. We are going to go into an incredible song by Benny. It's called Glitter. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
Welcome back to Get Serial on Sin. We just heard a wonderful collection of pieces. You heard Black Cloud by Mercy Mercy. Mercy Mercy is one of my favourite Australian artists at the moment. Go check her out. She's doing great work on the scene. Before that, we had Glitter by Benny, who is a New Zealand artist, who you've probably heard from her pretty big TikTok song, and she kind of won some pretty cool awards a little while ago. We'll chat about that later, though. Before that, you also heard Magic Woman Dancing and a couple other wonderful songs. But we are actually joined by some special guests in studio. Annabelle, are you as excited as I am?
I am. I might be more excited. We'll have to see. We'll have to put it to the test. But I'm very excited to be joined in studio by our guests. Who do we have in, Bianca?
Yes, so we have, I apologise, I am not good at pronouncing these, but Kula Creole is a group of Seychelles women. Emily, I mispronounced that. I will get that fixed in just a second. Brianna and Lorraine, they're residing in Australia, specifically Melbourne, and they are finding ways to promote their culture through dancing. The three of them are here to discuss what they do and why keeping their culture alive is so important to them. Guys, please feel free to introduce yourselves and maybe correct me on pronunciations.
Good morning. My name is Amelie. Yeah, and I was born in the Seychelles and I moved here 6 years ago.
My name is Brianna. I was born in Melbourne and raised here, but both parents on my mum and dad's side, they're both from Seychelles.
And my name is Lorraine and I was also born in Seychelles. However, I moved to Australia when I was 19 months old and grew up here my whole life.
Definitely. But I think we're going to dive into a first icebreaker question, something nice and fun. We are a morning show, obviously, Get Cereal. So we have to know, what's your ideal breakfast?
That's a good question.
I'm not a very big brekkie person. At work, I think I just more stick with the up and goes at the moment. It keeps me going. But trying to get a good omelette sometimes when I can, I have time. So
definitely. You guys?
Usually it's just eggs and toast for me, or avocado and fruits, yeah.
It's a good breakfast.
That's a good one.
My go-to is probably granola and yogurt, but I do love a good Eggs Benedict when I go out. Oh, yeah.
That's so good, my go-to.
We're going to take a step further. And obviously today we've been talking about it on air. Today is International Women's Day. And I think we just want to, before we get into anything, as women, how important is it for you guys to, I guess, try and inspire the next generation of not only your culture, but just young women in general to share their own cultures?
I think specifically with our culture, there's not many Seychelles people in Melbourne. There's a few, but not many. So therefore, from what we know, our age group at the moment, there's not that many girls, women our age doing something that we are doing, and we would like that to continue. So I can say that we hope to perform for as long as we can and keep our culture alive and encourage everyone to join. And of course, we are open to different Creole cultures. You got Mauritian, and you got Seychelles, and yeah, so we'll welcome everyone.
And I think also, what the reason I personally joined was because me and Lorraine used to dance when we were younger. We were about 4 or 5 years old, and we actually did dance in a Seychelles Sega group, and we wanted to reconnect with our culture. And in some performances that we have done, we've seen little girls come up and be so excited to dance with us, take pictures with us. And I think just seeing them become so excited about their culture through us dancing just goes to show that we can pass that on to them when they get older. So it's amazing to see.
That's so lovely. That's already given me chills. That's great.
Definitely. You touched on Sega dancing. We'll get back to that in just a second. I do want to know, how did you guys all meet?
Well, me and Emily are cousins on both sides. So my mum and through my dad were related. It's not incest, I'm saying. But it's just different sides. We are related. Me and Lorraine met through dancing when we were 4 or 5 years old. We do share the same last name, so we're probably cousins somewhere down the line as well. But yeah, that's how I met the girls.
And I met Emily at Brianna's 18th birthday party.
Fair enough. And I guess I'll dance on the question that you guys mentioned before. The answer you guys mentioned before. What led you to start a dance crew?
So, yeah, as Brianna mentioned, we did dance when we were younger. However, we did fall out of that for various reasons as we got older. But yeah, we reached a certain point where we saw other dance groups that were Mauritian-based, and there was, you know, just a couple of Seshawa girls, but it was, there was no fully Seshawa dance group out there. And I thought, okay, instead of joining someone else's group, why not make our own and be the only fully Seshawa group out there, spread our culture. And yeah, I brought the idea to the girls, and they were more than happy to come on board, and therefore our group was born.
Definitely.
That's great. Yeah. So when was that? How long have you had the dance group?
So,
just a bit about 20. A year and a half almost.
Yeah, but the idea came probably, what was it, June or July in 2022? Yes. And then we officially launched and had our first performance in October of 2022.
That's great. Yeah. And I was going to ask, actually, so you do Sega dancing. What does it, obviously it's hard, we're on air, you can't exactly show us a dance routine right now, but what differentiates Sega dancing from other dance styles?
That's a great question.
We've actually, from the Seychelles culture, we've got a few different types of dances. Sega is one of them. I suppose you could say the movement, Sega is mainly used with big skirts and the movement of the skirts. We also, as a group, we also bring in different aspects where we have short skirts. If you follow us on our Instagram page and Facebook, you will see all our videos where we also use short skirts and we try to modernize it together. But it's mainly, I would say, the big skirts and the movements of the big skirts. I suppose many cultures also use big skirts to dance with, and a lot of hip as well.
Fair. I think we'll bounce off that, actually. So you mentioned the skirts, and we've seen them on your Instagram and your Facebook. Definitely check it out. We'll maybe plug it a little bit later on. But who makes those? Because they're beautiful.
They are stunning. They're gorgeous.
We did have a person who did make our skirts, Mauritian lady. Since then, unfortunately, she has stopped making them. But yeah, she's amazing with the skirts. She's been doing it for such a long time from her garage. So she's just amazing.
Definitely. And I think we'll ask one more before we kind of lean off to the next song. So, obviously, the dances are physically demanding, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of prep do you guys do before and maybe even after the dances to get ready and maybe cool down?
So we do a lot of practice leading up to an event. Sometimes it's 2-3 times a week, depending on, you know, how intense the dance is. But usually we just start off with stretches, and even on performance days, we'll make sure that we get a warm up in and go over the moves. And afterwards, I mean, we try to stretch, but I think because of the adrenaline going through us, we kind of forget about that step.
Yes.
Totally. Well, stick around because we are not going anywhere, and we're going to be talking more about, I guess, Seychelles and the culture behind it in just a little bit. But stick around because we're going to hear another wonderful tune by another wonderful woman. Here is Black Horse and Cherry Tree by the ever so wonderful artist, which I've lost the name of.
Katie Tunstall.
That's the one. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
You just heard Black Horse and the Cherry Tree by KTE Tunstall, an incredible song, gets you up and moving, which is perfect for the continuation of our interview with Kula Creole.
Definitely. Hoping you were up off your feet dancing for that one. If not, you can catch these guys dancing very soon at some events, and we'll let you know where those guys are in just a little bit. But we're going to continue on with our interview with these guys, and I think the first question I want to ask is, pretty simply, Seychelles is a smaller nation with an even smaller population in Australia, as you mentioned before. What does it mean to perform, and what makes, I guess, the Seychelles people and Seychelles itself so special?
Okay, thank you for your question. Yes, so we are a very small country. We're made up of 115 islands. Not all of them are inhabited. But we've got three main islands at the moment, and we try to showcase the culture of Seychelles a lot because
it's so small. Not many people know about the Seychelles Islands, as compared to other countries more known in the world. So being able to represent our country and to show our culture to other people is very important for us, because our culture, our country, sorry, it depends on tourism a lot as well. So if we can show that to everyone around the world, even in Melbourne and Australia, and just show people how beautiful the country is, perhaps we can get more people there as well. It is a destination for a very nice tropical holiday.
We recently performed end of last year at the Africa Music Festival at Federation Square. And we had a couple people come up to us asking, you know, where we're from. Obviously, you say the Seychelles, and they're like, oh, where's that? And so people are already getting interested in where Seychelles is, what our culture is. And so being able to dance and show our culture, I think it's really inviting people to come in, you know, Google it or search it up and wanting to go, you know. It's bringing that culture to Seychelles, which is so dependent on tourism. So I think it's also just making people aware of where Seychelles is, what our culture is, just invites more people to go and love it as much as we do.
Definitely. And you did talk earlier about how you had little girls kind of coming up and being so excited to see the dancing and joining in. And I feel like that's so special to show young girls, especially that, I think a lot of people kind of stray away sometimes from cultural traditions, especially when they come to a new country, because you want to fit in and you want to kind of assimilate. So showcasing that culture is so lovely. And I love the ideas of the little girls getting up and dancing with you. And for a lot of people, though, it will have been the first time that they're seeing Sega dancing. Do people, get into it straight away? What's been the reception by people who don't know so much about Sega dancing?
Yeah, so there's definitely an interest at first. When people first view our performance, they're more so like, oh, what is that? And then as the performance goes on and the music gets, you know, more intense or more beaty, more rhythmic, they definitely start bopping along, clapping and getting into it. So it's really good to be up there and seeing everyone's interest kind of grow and have everyone join in as well.
Of course. And you guys, you just mentioned the music. I have to ask, for those who don't know, what kind of music can you expect there? Because that might drag some more people down.
There's a lot of drums, a lot of beats, a lot of different types of instruments, guitars, traditional instruments. But it's very rhythmic, as I mentioned before. Like, you just, when you hear it, you don't want to stop dancing.
That is so true.
No, totally. And we talked obviously about the reception you guys get from younger fans and younger folks. What's the reception like from the older generation that might be a little bit more familiar with these dances and kind of maybe be a little bit more judgmental about how they're being performed?
We actually, I haven't personally received any judgment for. I think we get more people that are very proud of what we're doing. They say we don't actually see a lot of young Seychelles girls who are continuing the tradition and the culture, and they're very proud to see us actually continue it and perform it. Yeah, that's the most reception we get.
We get a lot of support from our fellow Seychelles in the Seychelles as well. Even being a Melbourne-based group, we get a lot of support from artists in Seychelles and the Seychelles people abroad. So we're very grateful for everyone's support.
That's so lovely. And I will say, you talked earlier about how sometimes, you know, you might wear shorter skirts, you're trying to modernise the dancing as well. How do you go about modernising, Sega dancing, while still obviously kind of keeping the culture? It must be a tricky balance.
It's not too bad, actually. From when we were younger, we had been performing in shorter skirts. I think it's not something that's as common and popular because the other cultures, such as the Mauritians, don't do that. There are certain dance styles within Seychelles, such as the Zouk, which we do use the shorter skirts for. So I guess it's just us modernizing the Sega and also combining it into the other dance styles that we have in the Seychelles. So yeah, it hasn't been too hard, but obviously sometimes when we rely on the big skirts and then we switch to the short skirts, we're like, what do we do with our hands now?
The hands are always the problem.
Yes, oh my God, the hands.
Well, we'll lead it off with two last questions before we start to wrap off. And I think, first off, and this is a big question, what does it mean to you guys each separately to actually represent the culture and, I guess, keep it alive?
For me, I was me personally, I lost touch with my culture when I stopped dancing. I went through school. I was, like you said, you're trying to assimilate, trying to just fit in. I didn't really want to connect with my culture as much. My parents still spoke Creole at home, but I never really had interest in learning it, anything like that. And so, but when I started getting older and I became more like 18 years old, I wanted to reconnect with my culture. I thought it was really important to still keep that alive and to pass it on to my future children as well. So I wanted to learn more how to speak. And then Lorraine brought up the idea of, you know, dancing again. And I was like, that'll be perfect. And that was, yeah, keeping me personally, that's my importance of keeping my culture alive and connecting with myself.
Yeah, for me, it's very, very similar to Brianna's answer. I think, as we've mentioned before, being such a small community in Melbourne, it's really hard to, you know, find other groups and community groups to connect with. So this is just such a great opportunity. We feel so much closer to our culture and being Szechuan, so proud as well. And I think that's the most special part about it. Whether we're getting gigs or not, we have just connected so much. And also making our parents proud. And as Bree said, you know, keeping the lineage happening and being really connected. So, yeah.
Being able to perform with Brianna and Lorraine really is more than just dancing to me. It is a feeling of home, being so far away from home. Even though I've been here for 6 years, I'm still adapting. So it brings a sense of home. So when I dance with them, I just get that feeling of the community. It is a community here as well with all the Creole people. And it's just home away from home. And we love doing it. It comes so naturally to us. So it's just, you can't explain it really. It's just amazing.
No, that's very beautiful. That's a very lovely answer. And for people who want to go see your dances, where can they find you? Where are you performing at next?
We do have a performance coming up at the Pakenham Show on March 16th. We'll be performing at 2 p.m. If we're more than welcome. It is all free entry. So everyone wants to just come down. We'd love to see all of you.
All the Creole people.
Yes. Creole, non-Creole, yeah. Come and have a look.
All of you, just come down.
It is a family-friendly event. There will be attractions and competitions and a lot of other multicultural groups performing. So, yeah, we'd love to see everyone there.
Definitely. And where can we find you on Instagram if people want to follow along or on any other social media channels?
So our Instagram and Facebook are under the handles Couleur Creole, and that is K-O-U-L-E-R-K-R-E-O-L. So you can find us there. We post reels, we post photos, and yeah, we'd love to get into contact with everyone.
Definitely keep an eye out for that one. We will be posting and sharing more stuff on our personal Instagram, so do check it out if you'd like to. And, you know, check out the Pakenham Show because it's a fun one to be to. I've been at there before, so even if you're thinking, you know, it's a bit of a far travel just to go for one show, there's a whole show attached, so definitely check it out. But with that, we're going to dive into our next song. But before we do, a huge thank you for joining us today. And we hope to hear from you very, very soon. Look, if you're from the Szechuan community whatsoever and you're listening to this, please let us know on Instagram and we'll maybe get you in contact. And who knows, maybe let you know more about what's going on. But otherwise, thank you so, so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us as well. We're really grateful for this opportunity.
And our next song is the ever so wonderful Maggie Lindemann with She Knows It. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
You just heard Von Dutch by the incredible Charlie XCX. It's a good way to get yourself up in dancing. If you were listening to our interview of Couleur Creole and you wanted to move, that was the perfect song to kind of, yeah, get dancing, get into the rhythm of it. So it was incredible having Couleur Creole in today. We really loved hearing more about the Seychelles dancing, Sega, and definitely be sure to check them out at the Pakenham event that they have coming up. But look, we're nearing the end of the show and we have talked a lot today about how it is March 8th, International Women's Day. So I did just want to give us a little bit of information about International Women's Day, because maybe you're like me and you didn't know why exactly International Women's Day began. It's good to kind of get yourself up to speed. So International Women's Day was actually first recognised in Europe. So many reports trace the origins of the holiday honouring women
to New York City in 1909 to the commemoration of a garment workers' strike. But actually, so that was the first event. But in 1910, German activists suggested that they make it an official national day. That's how International Women's Day kind of started. But unfortunately, we are actually having to kind of wrap up the show a little bit earlier today. So I will just say thank you so much for listening and being here today. It's been great to celebrate International Women's Day with you all and to have Kula Creole in. If you want to keep up to date with everything Get Serial, you can check us out on Get Serial Sin on Instagram and on TikTok, where we do post occasionally. And you can also, as always, DM us on Instagram. Let us know who you want to hear next on our playlist. Check us out on all of our podcast platforms. That's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Omni FM, all places where good podcasts are found. And we will check you out next week. Up next, you have MGMT, Dancing in Babylon. Enjoy.